He did call Jesus Christ a failure. Wow. He called Jesus Christ a failure for dying on the cross.
Oh,
you tell me that, man, I see him right there. I mean, he supposedly, to a lost and dying world, he is the head of Christianity. That's who they look to. Okay, they're not too many. And realize this too. There's, I can't remember how many millions and millions of Catholics there are in the world. There's a whole bunch of them. I don't know how many there are. I'm going to keep a running tally on that. But there's way more than you realize. And not only that, but the Protestant world also. The Protestant world is just an offshoot. I know they came out from the Catholic Church, but they still follow the Apostles' Creed they have in their church. And one of the things in the Apostles' Creed says we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. And as many of them, I know there's Methodist churches, they quote that by time to time. My goodness, I don't want no part of a Catholic church. As Catholic, we're Catholic, we're universal. I believe in universal church. I believe in local church. Amen. I believe the Lord established local churches. Amen. Not one great big one with a head that wears a dress and walks around with a little beanie cap on his head and tries to tell everybody they need to believe in climate change. And he's antichrist, folks. I don't know that I don't know that this man is the false prophet, but I tell you right now, he sure is a dead ringer for him. Amen. Jackson knows my water this morning. Let's put the head with the water. All right. Let's look back in our study here. I want to look back just a little bit. And by the way, I want to welcome those that are listening on the internet this morning. And like I was saying, my brother Wally, you know, he's just preaching his heart out. Y'all please pray for him. Pray that God bless him. Pray for his son Noah. Pray for God to use Wally as he preaches. I'd urge you to go back and listen to the last service message and get time. He played some good music this week too. Man, I can't remember what was that song? One song about a nation should be built on a rock of ages. What was this song? But anyway, First Timothy, I want to back up there. We're going to start at verse 20 this morning, but I want to back up to verse 18 and read down. We're going to read down to verse 23 this morning. The Bible says there again, verse 18, says, who concerning, verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. You see that? These two men, concerning the truth, have erred. They had been in the church. These were people who were called Christians. These were people who were there amongst the fellowship of believers. Who concerning the truth have erred. They went wrong. Saying that the resurrection is past already. Jesus doesn't been resurrected. That's over with. I'm not saying Jesus. I'm just saying the saints have been resurrected. I can think of it for a second. He's saying that, you know, the dead in Christ already gone. The resurrection is over. We missed it. It's over with. And it says, and overthrow the faith of some. There were some weak members there. Boy, that just blew them all up. That just was train wreck for their faith. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. And by the way, nobody can mess up God's plan.
Yeah.
Amen. That made no difference. You can be the biggest fool in the world and spout the biggest heresies in the world. God's foundation still will be sure when you're done. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Praise God. I'm thankful he knows me. He knows I'm trusting him. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, depart from it, get away from it, don't touch it, don't look at it, leave, get away from it, call yourself away from that junk. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender stripes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, help us now these next few moments, Lord. I pray for your power and your blessing, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd use me. Father, I've got so many different directions I want to go here this morning. I pray you take control and guide me, Lord, lest I just ramble. Lord, I'm fearful of that, Lord, of just rambling and not saying anything. So I pray, Lord, you'd steer and guide my thoughts. Lord God, please bless these that have come to the house of the Lord today to hear the word of God. Lord, I pray that their cup be filled. Lord, they go out of here with helpful, Lord, helpful things, Lord, from the word of God that will help them in their daily life. Lord, to help them to be closer to be what you want them to be, Father, that they might be used of you and a blessed believer because of it. Father, we just pray, Lord, for your presence to be felt here. We pray that you work in the lives of these who tune in to listen to us, Lord. And we pray, Father, that, Lord, as we endeavor to go through these scriptures, Lord, that we grow and mature and get stronger as believers, Father. Please help us in this time of confusion we live in, Lord, to be able to see past the garbage that's out there around us, Lord, and see the truth of the Word of God, Father, that we continue, Lord, to have peace in the midst of all this chaos. Lord God, just strengthen our resolve to follow you, and Lord, bless our families. Help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I want to just look at this, first of all, and just kind of give you one of the first things that I saw when I looked at this. And we'll get into it and look at this deeper. But it says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And I know that the Lord is speaking of more than just a great house. But let's look at it just the way it's written. Let's look at it just the way he put it. But in a great house. And when I read that, here's what I think of. I go back in my mind to the Victorian era. Maybe back around the time before the Civil War, when there were great plantations and huge antebellum homes, and people were very refined in their manners and the way they conducted themselves, and people had butlers and maids and things of that nature. I mean, we don't live in that era nowadays. We certainly come out of that in America, but for the most part, I know there's some people today who still live that way, but for the most part, we don't. But you just picture a great house where there's much wealth. And in that house, there are all different kinds of vessels. Of course, a vessel is anything that contains something. And he said, in that house, there are vessels of gold and of silver, and also of wood and of earth. Now, I don't have any gold vessels in my house, and I'm just supposing and guessing that you don't have any gold vessels in your house either. And if you do, I wouldn't tell anybody you have them. Amen? I certainly wouldn't brag about it on the internet radio if I had one, but I don't have a gold vessel. Matter of fact, I don't even know what you'd serve in a gold vessel. But I can tell you this, it would have to be pretty special for you to break it out. Amen? I know that those people used to serve food, and they have to bring out their finest china. They get out the silver platter, and the butler take the stuff to de-tarnish it. I mean, they spend hours rubbing and getting the tarnish off the silver and the tarnish off the gold and make sure all the silverware was shined up and get everything just right. And that wasn't drug out for every meal, by the way. That silverware, the real silver, we call silverware now, it's just metal, but silver, real silver, that wasn't drug out for every meal. That wasn't drug out if somebody didn't want to eat something in the kitchen. Listen, it was for a special occasion. It was specially prepared for a special dining occasion. And those vessels of gold and silver were handled very carefully. They were careful to not be stored in the wrong place. They were careful not to be stored with the wrong thing. And they were carefully cleaned on a daily basis. Not like the vessels of wood and earth. When I think of wood and earth vessels in a house like that, now I'm going to probably say some things that you're going to go, oh, I can't believe he said that about a little bit. But my mom was not here this morning, so I can get away with a lot more. I told her that this morning while I was talking to her. But you know, when I think of a wood and earthen vessel, you know what my mind goes to first? A chamber pot. Y'all know what a chamber pot is? That was kept under the bed in case you had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. You didn't want to make it all the way out the backyard of the outhouse. Because back in that day, there wasn't indoor plumbing. So you pull the chamber pot out and you know, it's there morning. If you want to get it out of there come morning, I mean, you know, I mean, nobody wants to keep a full chamber pot underneath their bed. I mean, it was not something you wanted to bring out amongst the silverware and the gold, amen? You did not intermingle the two, amen? You did not store the chamber pot with the flatware, amen? That's vile and filthy. I think about that may be the earthen vessel, it's a wooden vessel. Maybe the straps went into the wooden pail to carry out the hog pen and dump out there and slop the hogs when the meal was all over. Again, you wouldn't want to set that up in the sink with everything else. You want to wash that out back by the well. You didn't want to bring them and mingle those two different kinds of vessels together. God says some of them are to honor. Again, if we're having a family or friends over, we're going to have a nice dinner. We're not going to serve mashed potatoes in the chamber pot. We're not going to serve mashed potatoes in the slop bucket. No, we're going to get out the gold and the silver. We're going to get out the china. We're going to get out the important things that we've taken great pains to take good care of and to make them shine and to make them pretty. And we're going to bring those things out, and we're going to have a nice, peaceful, refined evening and dining. Amen. Matter of fact, if we got guests, we don't even want the chamber pot to be seen, folks. It's the reason why it's kept under the bed. We don't want the slop bucket to be brought out of the kitchen. Amen. God says some of them are too dishonored. That's things you don't want around. The things that are fine, the things that are special. And I thought about Paul. Thought about Paul. Matter of fact, we'll read that in a minute. But I thought about Paul when he talked about all of his life previous to his salvation. And he said, what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. And he said, I do count them, but dumb. Amen? He basically said, my life was nothing but crap before Christ came into it. Say that. But that's what he's literally saying. That's what Paul, that's in the Bible. I know that word's not in the Bible, but dumb, we know what it is. Amen. And he said, that's what my life was. I was a filthy old dirty chamber pot full of excrement until Christ came along. Now, with that thought in mind, let's get into this. Amen. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. I hope I lost my whole audience on the internet over that. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. This house that he's describing here, this great house, he's literally describing his church. Because his church is this great house. And he said, in this great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth in that great house, which he calls his church. And some to honor and some to dishonor. Alright, so what is he saying here? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, 9-13. He said, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So again, here we see that he's talking about gold and silver and precious stones. These are things which will pass through the fire. These are, God is describing with gold and silver, these honorable vessels. Amen. Every single one of us is a vessel. Every single one of us in here this morning is a vessel to be used by God. Some of us, because I believe all your testimonies, I believe personally that you trust nothing but vessels unto dishonor, and they're spreading dishonor by preaching false gospels and what have you. God says, though, hey, every man's work will be made manifest. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to all become clear. You know, well, let me just keep on preaching. Let me just keep on reading the Word of God here. Romans 9, 21 through 23. The Bible says, hath not the potter power over the clay? God has power over us, of course. He said, of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory? God, listen. God, we're going back to where we talked about foreknowledge. God knows who's saved. God knows who's not saved. God knows who's going to be saved. God knows who's not going to be saved. He makes these vessels. Amen. And some of them are to honor and some of them are to dishonor. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning verse 24, he said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And this he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn. So, anytime you've got a church, anytime that there are believers gathered together, there are going to be, from time to time, tares amongst the wheat. The wheat are likened unto the believers. But yet, as hard as you try to not let unbelievers come into your church, they're going to be false professors. There are going to be those who come in and say, oh yeah, I believe, I'm trusting Christ, But they have no more trust in Christ than the man in the moon. And they come right up in the midst of it, and because they will not get saved, they spread garbage. It happens in every church. You're going to have tares. Tares looks like wheat until it produces its fruit, and there is no fruit on the tare. God is warning us. He's warning us when he tells us that there are some to honor and some to dishonor. Folks, we need to be careful that we do not get damaged by dishonorable vessels. We need to be careful that we do not let the garbage he was warning about when he talked about Philetus and Hymenaeus. Philetus and Hymenaeus were in that church, and they were spreading garbage. They were spreading lies. They were spreading their own ideas. They were spreading false doctrine. And because of that, it had affected some of those who had believed. It had overthrown their faith. And God warns that we're to be careful not to let garbage enter in where the good vessels are. Because that garbage will get mingled in with the good vessels. Verse 21, he goes on to say there in our passage, he said, if a man therefore purge himself from thee. Purge himself from what? Purge himself from the dishonorable vessels. Again, I can tell you right now, if the householder comes in and he finds out that somebody has stored his silver under the bed with a chamber pot, he's going to be very upset. He's going to say, get that silverware, get the gold away from that filthy vessel. It will contaminate the good vessels. Don't put them together. They don't belong together. God says we're not to be gathered together with filthy vessels either. Amen. God says we'll be careful about that. We read these verses all the time, but I'm going to read them until we run out of needing to read them. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:14 and following. That's why he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Hey, listen. His vessel is unto honor. Don't need to be yoked together with his vessel, with the vessels unto dishonor. God says they shouldn't be together. That's the reason for separation. There's a reason for all the purification that he taught to the Jews, to the Hebrew children, all down through the Old Testament, all the Levitical law. There was a reason for all that purifying. There was a reason for all that separation. It was they pounded it into their heads over and over and over and over. Why is that? Why should we in the New Testament era throw out that principle? God put it there for a reason. He's holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. There's a reason why he insists upon that. There's no power, no blessing with that. What communion hath light with darkness? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Ye are the temple of the living God. Ye. You and me. We're God's temple. We don't look at ourselves in the mirror and think that very often, but we are God's temple. He dwells in these temples. He said, if God has said, I will dwell in them. He will dwell in your temple. What does that make you? That makes you a vessel of honor if your temple's clean. For you are the temple of the living God. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean, but don't even touch it. We're affected by our senses, right? Our sight, our hearing, our taste, our touch. God doesn't want us to be affected by the filth of this world. That's why he says, in the Word of God, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. You know why? Because my eye has affected my heart. But the Word of God teaches us. If we sit and watch, listen, I have people talk to me and say, oh, I just love old Yolo's thing. Or I just love John Hager. I just love somebody else. Or I just love what George Myers. I just love what Paul White. Watch, such a blessing. They are liars and thieves. They are liars and thieves. Liars and thieves. They are not honorable servants of the Most High God. They preach heresies and false doctrines. You may watch them and get a little grain of truth out there amongst all the garbage that they're selling. But I'm telling you, folks, it ain't worth it. When you've got 66 canonized books and the Holy Ghost of God to guide you as you turn each page, amen, hey, there's no reason why you need false teachers to teach you Bible. Come out from among them. We live in a day of deception. We live in a day of lies. Untruth is everywhere. There's more untruth than there ever was truth out there in this world. God says, come out of that. Purge yourself from these. By the way, he said, if a man purge himself from these, God is not going to control you like you are a marionette or a robot. He just does not work that way. God says, hey, you're his child. I've given you enough wisdom and enough common sense to push that little button that says off and turn that filth off from before your eyes. We ought not sit and listen to things that contradict the Word of God. We ought not, and listen, and by the way, that goes for the news too. Preacher, you shouldn't tell me what to watch and what not to watch. I'm not telling you what not to watch. I'm telling you that God says that we ought not let ourselves become defiled. Amen? If that means you can't watch Fox News, by the way, hey, they just as wrong as the rest of them, by the way. They just play another side for you. That's all. They're all owned by the same people. Don't buy into the garbage. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you a little help. The Antichrist is setting up the kingdom right now. It's being set up. By the way, there was an announcement made this week. I'm not sure who made the announcement, but I believe the Pope actually made the announcement that they were planning for a new world order by 2030. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know when it happened. But all these things are coming to pass, and you're being lied to on a daily basis on every channel. And these things, and you're being told what to get upset about. You're getting told what's supposed to bother you. They're dictating to you what your attention should be on, whether it's a Confederate flag or whether it's some Muslim kid with a clock briefcase or a woman up in Kentucky. I mean, hey, I was all for Kim Davis and her stand and all that, but that they're showing us what to put our attention on. Why? Because they don't want us to see the junk they're doing. And they don't want your mind to be on the Word of God either. They want to deceive you. Folks, we need to be careful not to get caught up in that garbage. Not to let that become our world and our thought process. We need to think on these things. God says, come out from among them. What does that mean? It means come out. From among them, get out of there. You know, separate yourself. So you know what? I'm being defiled when I watch this. I'm being defiled when I listen to this. You ever feel like it sometimes when you're watching something, you think, man, this ain't good for me. That's the time to turn it off. Not say, oh, it won't hurt that bad. Turn it off. Turn it off and do something worthwhile. Read your Bible. Go ahead, read it lately. Read your Bible. Turn it off. Talk to God. Turn it off. Be a help to somebody else. Witness to somebody. Share and enjoy the Lord. Rejoice. Praise God a little bit. Get your mind out of the filth and the gutter. Satan does everything he can to try to wear us down to a nub. He'll bring up every problem that you ever thought about. Again, just to keep your mind off the things of God. God says, come out from among that. Listen, God give us victory if we'll go to Him with our problems. Come out from among them and be you separate, said the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Have nothing to do with it. He said, and I will receive you, because God is not going to receive a dirty vessel. God's not going to do something with a dirty vessel. Purge yourself from these. Listen, you can't. If we get enough dishonorable garbage in us, we'll be a dishonorable vessel. And God will not be able to do anything with us until we're clean. And he said, I'll be a father of you. And you shall be my sons and daughters. I want that kind of relationship with God. I want a loving father and son relationship with God. Saith the Lord Almighty. And the next verse in chapter 7 says, and having therefore these promises, and the promises, God's promises, that if we'll separate ourselves as believers from the rest of the filthy world, and that doesn't mean you're so high and mighty, you're no earthly good for anybody, and I'm not proposing that for one second, that we become such grand believers that we're too high to get down on somebody's level. No, that's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about keeping our hearts and minds pure so that they're not the devil's playground, so that he does not have a bully position over you, that he doesn't defeat you every time you turn around and drive yourself for God. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Wait a minute, God's supposed to cleanse us. Now, God gives you enough sense to know how to get rid of things. God, the Holy Ghost of God urges you to remove things. He shows you the things you don't need. And He expects you to be the one to say, Lord, I'm bringing this to you and I'm giving it to you, but I don't want it anymore because it hurts me. Listen, we need to do that every now and then. We need to look around and say, you know what? That's hurting me. I don't need that in my life anymore. And I may not have the willpower to turn loose of it. So God, I'm going to you and I'm saying, Lord, I know this is hurting me and my old flesh likes it. And I want to turn loose of it. So Lord, here, you take it. Give me power over it. I'm getting rid of it. I'm getting but all of it. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Check it out. Listen. If a man's got a pasture and he's got 20 gates on it, that'd be a big pasture. But I can tell you right now, hey, he's going to check all 20 of them. He's going to check everywhere. Hey, he's going to check everywhere that his livestock can get out. He's not going to just go around and expect them to all be secure. He's going to check every gate. Listen, you know, we need to check every gate in our lives to make sure they're latched, to make sure error isn't coming in, to make sure we're not losing the things we're retaining. Listen, we need to make sure that this world is not eroding us. He said, also flee also youthful lust. Get away from it. That's the best way to handle lust. Run from it. You know, Joseph, when he was sold into slavery, he wound up in Potiphar's house there in Egypt. You know, Potiphar's wife, she was kind of slutty, you know, she wanted to get after old Joseph every time he got around. She thought he was a hunk. And you know, every time he got around, she started flirting with him and trying to come on to him. And the Bible says, verse 11, chapter 39 of Genesis, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him, so it was all just him and her. I don't know that he knew that when he went in, but the Bible said, and she caught him by his garment, she grabbed him by the clothes and said, hey, lie with me. Hey, let's go to the bedroom. That's what she was saying. And he left his garment in her hand. Now, she had a hope that he wiggled out of his clothes and took off running naked. He fled. This is a grown man. But he fled running out of the house. I mean, he was, and you ain't going to get me. I'm not going to stay here. You may have my clothes, but you ain't going to have me. He didn't argue. He fled. Amen. He resisted the devil, what he did. He said, I'm not going down that road. I'm not going to be that kind of a man. I'm not going to deny my God. You're not going to pull me into your adultery. I'm not going to lie with you in sexual sin. No, I'm going. I'm getting out of here. That's what he said. I got to be more sin. Flee also youthful lust. He's telling this to Timothy because Timothy's a young man. And folks, you don't have to be young to fall into youthful lust. I mean, I know plenty of grown men who still go out to the bar and still try to act like they're young. Plenty of women who try to dress themselves like they're young and go do things that young people sometimes fall into. 1 John 2:14-17, the Bible says, I have written unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one, and his advice to them, is, we've heard it lots of times before, but love not the world, because listen, the world, if you love the world, you're not going to love the Father. You're going to love the world, you're going to love the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot love God and love the world. You cannot be a vessel of dishonor and love God. It's just simple as that. When Hymenaeus and Philetus were going around practicing their garbage, telling people, hey, listen, I don't know why you're doing all this, because, hey, the resurrection's done happened. Y'all missed it. They weren't loving God. No. There was a reason why they were teaching that. You know what I think? I mean, I don't have any more than what's revealed to me right here, but I can give you my opinion on it. Why I think they were teaching that? Because they wanted to live in sin. The resurrection is already passed. They done missed it. What's the point? We can do what we want. We done missed it anyway. And he goes on to say, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, again, that's the desire to do what I want to do, to have what I seek, and to think I'm more important than everybody else. That's the lust of the flesh. That's the lust of the eyes. That's the pride of life.
that is the world, those things that are in the world, and that's the way the world conducts itself. The world does what it wants to. The world, hey, gets up, people in the world that are not slaves, they get up in the morning, they want to do something, hey, they can get it done, they go do it. Doesn't matter what God thinks, doesn't matter what's right, they're just going to do what they want to do. And if we're not careful, we're in this world with them, and we see them doing those things, and we know, hey, we call out from among them, but why does it look like a lot of fun they're doing over there? So it won't hurt. Nobody's going to know. I'll just join with them. But the lust of the eyes, well, I want to have what they have. I mean, why do I have to suffer? I mean, you know, hey, I'm a good person. I love Jesus, so why can't I have other things that everybody else has?
There's a reason. Because those things corrupt you. And God has come out from among that garbage. Because you see, those things war against the soul, the filth of this world.
It's so easy for people who claim to be Christians to just like whatever the rest of the world likes. Folks, those who are believers, those who are vessels of honor, we can't go back and be those vessels anymore. We're not that. There's been a change in us. God has cleaned us on the inside, folks. He's cleaned us up. And God doesn't want us to be placed back with them dirty, filthy vessels anymore. Because they'll make us corrupt. And if we're corrupt, we're going to corrupt His plan. We're going to corrupt the things He's trying to do with us. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 4, he says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." Do you hear what that just said? That he should no longer, listen, "then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind." We're going to have suffering in the flesh. We're not going to be, we're not playing Candyland here, folks. We're going through life. We're going through life as believers, strangers in a strange land. We're going through this life as God's children amongst the devil's children. This is not a pleasure trip. This is a serious, serious walk. And unless we are devoted and dedicated children to God, then we're in danger of wandering. We're in danger of slipping away from the things that we've been taught and we know, and getting backslid and getting cold and becoming vessels of dishonor, bitter toward God. It happens all the time. Running into people like that all the time. It's evidence that it happens. And I wouldn't dare want to see it happen to somebody in this church. God help us if we become dishonorable to God. He said he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. We've got to separate from the vessels of dishonor. "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles." We may used to have lived that way. Maybe you came up that way. Maybe that's the way your mom and daddy taught you. Maybe that's the way your friends were back in your life before. He said, "when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatry, wicked behavior that thought that evil was good and good was evil." Hey, listen, thinking it's okay if people want to marry their same sex, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. The people just do what they want to. That's the way people live in this world. Hey, by the way, that's the way people lived back then when Paul was writing these words, too. Hey, listen, that's the reason Rome fell. That's the reason the Greek Empire went down. Why? Because people got in the same shape as this nation did today. They started to pace out. It's okay. It's okay. I read an article the other day where a pedophile was trying to explain their position. That they're not really monsters. They just attracted the little kids, that's all. That's the next thing. That's the very next thing that's coming, folks. I see articles on it all the time. I read things about it all the time. Listen, our nation gave in to same sex marriage, so the next step is pedophilia. That's coming. That's where we're at in America. I mean, it's okay to kill your baby. They don't find nothing to murder an infant. And they don't want you out there on the sidewalk with a sign showing what they've done, showing and displaying their handiwork for the world to see. They don't want everybody to see what they're doing back in there behind closed doors. They don't want anybody trying to divert anybody from getting an abortion. They don't want anybody talking about it. They're fine to do it. That's where we're at in America. And we become silent majority, or a silent minority about it. Why? Because we don't feel like we can do anything about it. But you know what God still feels the way he feels about it, whether we say anything or not. And you see, now this same-sex marriage, after a while, everybody gets so used to being that way, nobody talks about it anymore. Nobody wants to fuss about it anymore. Nobody wants to stand up for God anymore. Why? Because everybody's got a rainbow over their profile pic. And nobody wants to get anybody upset with them. Nobody wants to lose a friend here and there. I want God to be my friend. He said, you know, the way we used to walk, we walked in lasciviousness. We walked in lust. Hey, we wanted to go party. We wanted to go hang out. We wanted to go fool around with some old gal or some old boy. Hey, we did what we wanted to. In our past, an excess of the wine, we'll go drink, have fun, party. It ain't fun. It ain't fun. Sound like fun in the beginning, but it ain't fun in the end, that's for sure. Revelings, that's partying, banquetings, abominable idolatries, holding up music, singers, musicians, and sports people as heroes and idols. I mean, all the shows, even with the shows, the garden song. I mean, all these shows, The Voice, X Factor, America's Got Talent, used to be Star Search, American Idol. What is it doing? That's trying to put people up there and say, this person right here, this is who you want to be like. This is who you want to. You want to spend all your money on this person. This, they're no different than you are. But somebody's made them into an idol. And listen, how many, and I can tell you it's so real because, see, I work with these girls who like this stuff. And one of them especially that I work with, that I give her a hard time because she's family. You know, and I mentioned something about Miley Cyrus here a while back. Oh, I just love Miley Cyrus. And I thought, how in the world can you love such a filthy whore? How do you love somebody like that who is so godless? How do you say I love her? You don't love her. She's a filthy whore. I'm sorry I hurt your ears, but she's a filthy whore. How does somebody love that? That's the way this world is. That's this world. God says, listen, that's the way you used to be. And it's an abomination to heal. Get away from the vessels of dishonor. And by the way, I know it's not that way in the church. We ain't got a lot of youth in here. But I want to tell you something. That's what it is. These big churches around town, well, they got all these youth groups and giant youth groups. Actually, right now, if you went through that youth group, you start asking somebody who they listen to, blow your mind. Blow your mind what they watch, what they listen to. And all that dishonorable garbage is just infiltrating churches. And a man of God, he was found and cry against it because they're losing families. He said, where they find you strange that you're going not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you. He said, the vessels of dishonor, they're going to mock the vessels of honor. Why? I mean, can you imagine the chamber pot sitting there under the bed saying, well, why do you think you need to be all polished up in there? Why do you think you got to shine? You think you're really stuck, don't you? Well, you ain't nothing. You get tarnished. Hey, by the way, I do get tarnished. You get tarnished. But you know what? We go to God and shine. Amen. He puts the polish on us and makes us shine for his glory. I'm almost done. Verse 23, we're about to finish. He said, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. That foolish and unlearned question, that's just stupid. That is literally stupid questions. You know, been around some people like that too. All they want to do is try to challenge you. They want to ask you stuff that they think is too hard for you to answer because they want to appear more intellectual than you. They end up just sounding like an idiot.
His brother came here sometime, rode the bus. He always wanted to come to me with some kind of crazy question that didn't make no sense at all. And so I just said, stay away from the kind of garbage. Listen, they gender strifes. We're not about to strife. We're not here to argue. God's right. Man's wrong. Case closed. It's over. Amen. You either are with God or you don't. It's not about me being right and trying to go over you and say, I'm more spiritual than you because I know the answer to that. No. Listen, we're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to be vessels, not unto honoring ourselves, but honoring Him. Amen. I want you to turn to Philippians 3, and we'll look at that and we'll close this morning. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at that whole chapter there. I don't let that scare you. I won't park there very long. But Philippians chapter 3. I read that this morning, and I thought, man, that just goes right along with what I was preaching. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but it is for you, it is safe. He says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. That's those who were coming in behind Paul and telling lies and trying to corrupt everything that Paul was trying to do. He says, for we are of the circumcision. We which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Amen? None. That's why we don't love the world, either the things that are in the world. Because it's of the flesh and we have no confidence of it. It's under dishonor. He said, he said, though I might have confidence in the flesh. He said, I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh. I'm worried, but I got a lot of reasons why I could trust in my flesh. I got a lot of reasons why you want to brag about flesh. I got plenty of reasons. I was circumcised the eighth day, just like the law says I should be. Hey, the stock of Israel, I'm a Hebrew. He said, of the tribe of Benjamin, I'm a part of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He says, touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church, I was full of zeal. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Man, I was a religious, moral leader. And I was out to do the work of it. He said, but what things were gained me? Those I counted lost in Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss. Everything that I had before is no good. Everything that I did before is no good. It won't do me any good. You understand? That's what he says. I count all things but loss. All that my life before Christ was all for nothing. My life was crap. That's what he said. He said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He lost his family. He lost his position. He lost his power, his influence, everything when he trusted Christ. Everybody in his life cut him off. The church wasn't even sure they wanted anything to do with it for a while. He said, I didn't count them, but everything. It was just a pile of junk, pile of crap, pile of excrement. All it was. It was nothing but manure. He said, and I had to put all that manure over there. He said, I count those things as dumb, but I may win Christ. You see, when Christ came in, he didn't want to hang out with manure anymore. Amen? It wasn't about hanging out with a pile of manure anymore. Because he saw it for what it is. He said, I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, because that was a pile. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness, which is of God by faith. It's not me, it's not my stuff, it's Him, it's His righteousness, it's His life in me. And he says, if any by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, he said, oh, I wish I could come by the grave. He said, I want to come by the grave with Him, amen. Without sin, he said, but I follow after. That's also, I always have a hard time reading that.
If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't got it all together yet. This one thing I do. Forget the things which are behind, that fire over there. I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, the honorable things, the things which give God glory, the fellowship, the father and son relationship we read about. That's what I'm reaching for. I press toward the mark. Pressing means I'm digging in. I got my head down. I'm serious about it. I'm committed. I've made a decision to purge myself from the things that held me back. I've made a decision to cut myself off from the people who caused me not to be able to walk with God. I've made a decision to cut myself off from the influence of those who would cause me to fall back and be backslidden and not want to walk with God. I've cut myself off from that. So I can press toward the mark of the high prize, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And by the way, not for human perfection, but God completing his plan in you. As many as be perfect, be thus minded, that if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. God will show you. God will show you how to walk. God will show you how to become what he wants you to be. God will guide you into it. But you've got to turn loose of those things. You've got to shed yourself from this whole world. And every day we go, every turn of the calendar, every step further, it is going to be tougher to do it. So you need him the more and the more and the more and the more. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Hey, wherever you're at this morning, however far you come, listen, just keep on going. Don't turn back. Keep going. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so you have us for example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He's not talking about people outside the church, folks. He's talking about people who have come into the church. They walk with the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is their destruction. If they keep on going the way they're going, they're going to wind up in hell because they don't believe in Christ. Whose God is their belly. That's a lot of people like that. I ain't talking about people who've got a big belly because they eat too much. That's not what he means there. He says their God is their belly. In other words, they live to please themselves. They live to do what they want. They live to get what they want. They live to think what they want. And whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Those are the ones who are the chamber pots. And all they're full of is, you know what? The filth of this world. He said, for our conversations in heaven, our way of life is in heaven. That's where we get our direction from. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Again, those vessels of gold and silver. Read that last verse again with me. Who shall change our vile body. Let's take that silver out. And let's begin to rub the tarnish off. What is he doing when we go to him in prayer? What is he doing when we go to him reading scriptures? He's wiping the tarnish away. It's like gold in the refiner's pot, silver in the refiner's fire, skimming the dross from us as we come to him and learn of him daily. He's wiping away the tarnish of this world and making us vessels of honor for his glory. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. God is changing us daily, but one of these days, hey, he's going to change us completely.
Amen.
And while we're here,
while we're walking upon this earth over goodness' sake. Let's live for Him. Let's go to Him. Let's stay away from the filth. Let's cut ourselves off from the garbage. Cut ourselves off from those who would try to corrupt us. Let's cut ourselves off and let's yield to Him. Folks, we've not got long to go. We've not got far on this journey left to walk. But while we're walking, let us shine and reflect the glory of our Heavenly Father. Let's be vessels unto honor for Christ's sake. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you this morning.